And I think that's coming through. No, to be like thee is the title, 2 Corinthians 13:11-14. And I would like to encourage you to give your attention to who Jesus is and to do what he wants you to do. I remember at the wedding in Canaan, when Jesus turned the water into wine, the servants were there wondering what to do, and Mary said to them, "Whatever he says to you, do it." That is discipleship. That is Christian living. Whatever he says to us, do it. God's word is timeless truth. And this passage we're going to look at today is for us today. It is timeless truth for us to apply these things to our heart. It is the word of God, and we're to live it. We're going to look at verses 11 to 14. And in these verses, we're going to look at the unity of the believers, of Christians, the sincerity of believers, and then the blessings of the Lord. Let's read our text. "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." Corinthians, the book of Corinthians was written to a group of people that had serious trouble in their life. 1 Corinthians is a book of spiritual conflicts. They also had many other conflicts. They were divided. I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Keep your hand there in 2 Corinthians just to give you a little bit of an understanding of what was happening in their life. In verse 10 of chapter 1, Paul had to begin dealing with these conflicts. He said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of Jesus, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you by the brethren, of me, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" So they were following personalities. They were following individuals. When they say here, I'm following Christ, it wasn't that they were seeking discipleship or Christian. They were just saying, maybe I'm more spiritual than others. The fact was, is there were divisions and contentions. And Paul was telling them that there should not be these divisions. He tells them to be perfectly joined together in verse 10. And that word is a word used for mending nets. I really like that. And I think of Mike Sutton every time I think about that, because he's the one who taught me how to mend a net. And he was good at it, and I didn't like it. But we are to be perfectly joined together. When there's a hole, you pull together to repair it. You pull together. Not be divisive. Not be divided. They had tremendous conflict. There were brethren that were suing others. There was immorality. Tremendous conflicts in the church. But Paul was encouraging them to pull together. To live as brethren, to live as God wanted them to live. And he closes 2 Corinthians with these concluding words, with the hopes that they are going to live the life that God wants them to live. And it seems that there were great changes in this church as well. That God was working through them and accomplishing his purpose in their life. So I trust that this message this morning will encourage you. We do have conflicts from time to time. We do have issues, but we need to pull together as one in Jesus Christ and live the life that God wants us to live. So let's go back to 2 Corinthians 13, And we're going to look at verses 11 to 14. We have 3 points here. Point number one is our unity as Christians. Our unity as Christians. He says, finally, that's closing remarks, calls us brethren. That's what we are. Our identity is that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're a family. We're to be one in Jesus. A family does not mean that there's not going to be conflicts. Look at your own personal families. Husband and wife and children, you have conflicts. But you pull together. You work through those things. We are brethren. We are brethren. And we're to love as brethren. That's a command of the Lord. He says farewell. Now the word farewell in some of your translations is the word for joy. Be glad. Rejoice. The word, or the root word, is grace. And the King James writers seem to feel that they needed to write farewell. It is a closing remark somewhat of when you greet somebody at the beginning, you see them, you're happy to see them, and when they go, you're sad, but you wish them well. And that's what Paul is doing. The book started with rejoicing. In chapter 1, there's the word joy and rejoicing. It ends with rejoicing. We as brethren need to have the rejoicing of the Lord in our hearts. We need to have the joy of God with us. It's like Paul saying, I'm saying to you goodbye, but rejoice. Have the joy of the Lord. It strengthens us and blesses us. The joy of the Lord is your strength. There are 4 qualities or virtues in Christian unity that we are going to look at. Each one of these deals with the matter of right now. This is, should be in your life, right now. It's not something of later. It's right now. It's presently, and it's something that we strive to work at all the time. We need to have this in our heart. The first quality or virtue of Christian unity is be perfect. Be perfect. Same word that Paul used in chapter 1, verse 10, be perfectly joined together in 1 Corinthians. It's also in verse 9. Look at verse 9 here in the chapter. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. This also we wish, even your perfection. It's not the word meaning to be mature, but it's a meaning here of pulling together. I mentioned earlier it's about mending nets. It's also a word that's used for mending a bone that is out of joint. A broken bone has to be reset. A shoulder that's out of joint has to be reset. Is it painful? Yes, but once it's set, it begins the healing process. Paul is telling us as believers, the Lord's telling us as believers, we need to mend ourselves. We need to be joined together. Relocating what has been disjointed, not running from it, not being afraid to deal with it. We must deal with it. And we've gone through some conflicts, and some of our meeting tonight is going to be about that. But we pull together as a family, because we love each other. We pull together. We strive to mend the conflicts or the issues. So be perfect. That's right now. That's what we're to do. And that's continuous. So you always strive to mend, always strive to relocate. That meaning there of when there's a problem, you deal with it. I counseled with a man in South Africa, and his wife came to me and she said, Peter's always running away. I said, why is he running away? She said, he doesn't want to deal with problems. So when we have a problem with my son or my daughter or our finances, he just leaves. And he'll just go away, and I don't know where he is. I can't contact him. And so the next time Peter came home, I talked with him. He said, I cannot handle the problems. And so I just feel the best thing for me to do is to leave. That is not what God wants us to do. Okay? You've got to pull together and work through things. And just sit down and talk through your issues and problems. That's how you solve things. The next point number 2, is be of good comfort. That word "be of good comfort" is a word, it means to call to one side. To call to one side. It's similar to the word of the Holy Spirit in John, where the Holy Spirit is our comforter. Here it means to call to one side. It's the word that's used for exhortation, to exhort one another. And I like it to see it this way: be solution oriented. Be solution oriented. I believe there's a solution to every problem. And we just need to work through them. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes there's conflict. Look what happened with Paul and Barnabas. Remember them? The conflict, it said they got so sharp, they separated one from another. But it seems to indicate that there was a reconciliation there in another one of Paul's letters. We need to exhort one another. It means to call to one side, to come up alongside of a person and exhort them, to encourage them. That's what we need to do. So we need to be menders. We need to be exhorters. The third point, be of one mind. It means to be like-minded. That's difficult because we're all diverse. And it speaks of unity. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Philippians, I love the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians is ministering with the mind of the master. Ministering with the mind of the master. I'd like you to turn to the book of Philippians, if you would. I want to spend a little bit of time here about being like-minded or being of one mind. It does not mean that there's no diversity. It does not mean that there are no differences in our thinking, because we all think differently. We all think differently. But we learn to pull together in the things that we do agree on, and we learn to accept the diversity and the differences in our lives. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, he said, "Only let your conduct or your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." So we are going to be diverse, right? Different. But we can have the one mind that we're striving together for the faith of the gospel. It's for the sake of the Lord that we pull together. For the sake of the Lord, we strive to have one mind and not allow things to divide us. We strive together for the faith of the gospel. That's so important. And it reveals that in our conduct, how we treat one another. Look at chapter 2, verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," the mind of Christ. Great subject, right? A great theme that's throughout the Word of God, the mind of God, the mind of Christ. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," learning to think as Jesus thought. And I believe we can do that by reading the Word and spending time in God's Word. The Bible is the mind of God. We need to have His mind within us. And then look at chapter 4 and verse 8. Look at chapter 4 and verse 8. So we're not to be agitated. In verse 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing." That word "careful" carries with the meaning of being full of anxiety, agitated, worried. There's hints of frustration and conflict. We commit everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, look at verse 8. "Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." That's where our mind's supposed to be, thinking about the things of the Lord, thinking about these things. To be like-minded, we are diverse. We have differences in our personalities, right? We're all different. Different abilities, different gifts, different backgrounds, different interests. different interests, limitations, etc. But there should be unity in our diversity. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. Please turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm not hearing very many amens today. There should be unity in diversity. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. But in 1 Corinthians 12, 12, for as the body is one, think of your own body, it has many members. And all the members of one of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. We are different members. But we're still got to be one. All right? Look at verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. It talks about the, you know, not everyone's the head, not everyone's the foot, not everyone's this. And we need each other. Verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. So I'm here because it's what God wanted. He called me to preach. And every one of us are in the body as God has determined. So we have different gifts and abilities. Now look at verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. If one member suffer, all the members suffer. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And it says, and you are a body of Christ and members in particular. There needs to be the understanding of interdependency with each other. Each person needs to be understanding that we are dependent. There's a mutual dependency upon each other. And that brings harmony. I need you and you need me. We need each other. And so we need to look at it at with that way. We need to be like-minded, okay? Let's just go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Go 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And just do a couple things. So there's diversity, right? We're all different. Now, if you look at Mike Sutton and me, you can see we're different. Not because we look different, but we are different. He loves to fish. I'm not a fisherman. Buzz asked me to go fishing. Fishing's fine. I enjoy eating the things, but I don't take time to go to the rivers. I just feel it's not my thing, okay? Some of you just live for fishing. You know, what the guy said, his wife said, if you go fishing one more time, I'm going to leave you. And he said, it was nice knowing you. I don't do that kind of thing, okay? I'm not that big of a hunter. I used to be. But my interests are changing. But we are unified in many other ways. Look at verse 4. God comforts us in all our tribulation that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. We agree we need to comfort one another. Right? Look at verse 9. He says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Paul's talking about the troubles he went through. God worked in his heart to put his trust in God. That's where we need to be, trusting God. Right? We can agree on that. We comfort one another. We trust in God. Verse 11, helping together by prayer, we pray for one another. So we be like-minded. We need to pray. We need to comfort. This whole book is just full of this. Look at verse 18 of chapter 1. God is true. We acknowledge that. Let's pull together. God's true. Paul said, let God be true and every man a liar. Verse 20, all the promises of God are yes. All the promises of God are yes. Look at chapter 2 talks about forgiving. Verse 7, so that contrarywise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him. It's talking about believers that go through difficulties. There's conflicts, and when they get it right, what do? We forgive. That's what God wants us to do. Chapter 3 talks about ministering the word. The last part of verse 5, our sufficiency is of God. We're going to depend on God. This whole book is full of these. We could go on for minutes here of discussing that we join together in the ministry of the Word, the ministry of the New Testament. That we need to please God. We're new in Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ. We understand that we need to separate from the things of this world. God teaches us that godly sorrow brings repentance. We understand we need to give of our resources to help those in need. We don't compare ourselves with one another. We strive to be like Jesus Christ. Speaks of false apostles. We understand we stand against falsehood and stand for God's truth. And God's grace is sufficient. And of course, we need to support each other in truth. So we agree on these things, but we are diverse. But what are we supposed to do? Pull together for the faith of the gospel and working to accomplish God's will in our life. Back at 2 Corinthians, the third point, the fourth, I had four here. First was qualities, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of the same mind. And then we have the last point in verse 11 is this, live in peace. Live in peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Colossians tells us, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. God is the God of peace. The word peace is used over 450 times in the Word of God. Many of those references speak of how we need to be at peace with one another. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. The word rule means to be an umpire. So whatever causes disruption in peace, there's something wrong. If we stand for truth, there's going to be a lack of peace. But in the context of 2 Corinthians, it's speaking about being unified in Christ. So if we do something that causes disruption in the family of God, we need to get that settled. We need to get it sorted out. We need to honor God and come to a place where we can please Him in all things. Live in peace. Look at the last part of verse 11, and it says, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Some of your translations have then. Put there. The word "and" is a Greek word for kai. It can read for to end, and it can be then. There's a possibility here, this is in my thinking, that when there is disruption in our lives, God is going to work. But if we continue on in our way, I think sometimes God says, okay, solve your problem then. If you don't want me to do it, you do it. And it's not going to work. We're going to have tremendous difficulty here. God is a God of love. He's a God of peace. He's our master. He's our Lord. Our dependence is on God to make these virtues a reality in our midst. He is our shepherd. Psalm 32, verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. God will supply whatever we need. He comforts us. He leads us beside those still waters. He's going to bring love and peace in our midst. But we need to do our part and say, yes, Lord, and strive to walk with Him and not allow differences to divide us. Verse 13 and 12 and 13 here is sincerity. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, we were in South Africa, and they took that literally. Okay? I struggled with that one, you know. You can ask my wife how I struggled with that one. We have a lady, I don't know if she's alive, name is Thelma Spiller. You had to give her a kiss when you greeted her. That was just, she was an older lady in her 70s, so I didn't mind it. But it still was not comforting to me. And they, in that culture, in this culture where Paul's speaking of, they literally do that. They still do that in France, I believe, right? They kiss each other on the cheeks. It's on one side of the cheek. Just a common greeting. And then it's got to be holy here. It needs to be purity. And then all the saints salute you. There's that greeting. What I get from this, there needs to be affection and greeting to every brother in Christ, every brother and sister in Christ. There's no enemies here, no animosity here, No retaliation, no bitterness, no strife, no backbiting. We are to be sincere. Jesus even called Judas friend. Isn't that interesting? When Judas came to betray him, Jesus looked up at him and called him friend. We are to be sincere in everything that we do. The last verse, verse 14, is the blessings. It was called the apostolic blessing. The triune God is mentioned here. We have his grace, his love, his communion, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We see here, first of all, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. His grace speaks of his favor, his help, his ability. We need his grace in our life, in our families, in our relationships. He's called the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord. He is the master of our life. He's the Savior. Jesus means Savior. Christ meaning the anointed one, the chosen of God. All grace comes from him for each and every one of us. Then we need the love of God. Of course, it's mentioned in many places, the love of God. God is love. He's the originator of love. He's the founder and builder of love. That is God's nature. So as we draw near to knowing God, he is going to point us in a direction of love. Of course, we're to love God with all of our heart and soul and mind and body. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves because God is love. We loved him because he first loved us. God speaks of the fact that he is our creator. He's the one who made us. He knows how we work. He knows what we need. He's the God of love, and love will pull us together and draw us near to him and help us in living for him. The last here is the communion of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. Communion here is fellowship, walking with God. The Spirit is holy. The Spirit is holy. Speaks of his truth, his light. If we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. God is a holy God. His Spirit is holy. If we have his Holy Spirit, it will drive us to live a holy life in honor to God. And it brings communion, fellowship. Not only with God, but with one another. Let's all read verse 11 to 14 together. Okay, shall we? Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with an holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Give your attention to who Jesus is. Jesus is perfect. He mends. Jesus is our comforter. He pulls us together. He comforts our hearts in distress. We need to have the mind of Jesus. And Jesus is peace. He is love. And he is with us. He greeted even his enemies. But he was sincere in all he did. We need to have that sincerity. He gives us grace, he loves, he pulls us together in fellowship. Give your attention to who Jesus is and do what he wants you to do. Be unified, be sincere, and you will have the blessings of God. And I like to look at it this. Unity is our duty to act. Sincerity is our heart to embrace one another. And the blessings here is our reception for change and growth. We're going to close our hymn, our song, our service today with hymn number 513. 513.